Blog Talk Radio.
Walking the Talk Radio with your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr. Tune in each and every Saturday as we discuss how to walk the talk instead of just talking it. Tune in every Saturday at 9 a.m. as we bring practical principles into our spiritual lives. Walking the Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Walking the Talk Radio. I am your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr. I'm so excited that you would tune in today, this morning, to Walking the Talk Radio. It's been a full week. I don't know about you, but boy, a lot has happened, a lot of great things, a lot of good things, a lot of wonderful things have happened in the world, and you just have to be happy to be alive during this time, during this season, because we were called for such a time as this. This morning, I'm glad you tuned in early with me. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. We'll be talking about one of the names of God, and that's Elroy. And it's spelled E-L, capital E, then lowercase L, and then Roy, capital R-O-I. And it means the God who sees me. If you have your Bibles available and prepared, let's go to Genesis 16 after a word of prayer. Father God, I come to you today thanking you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for waking up those who are under the sound of my voice, Lord God. We thank you so much for life, for living, for laughter, for love. God, things did not have to be the way that you had them lined up in our lives, but we are happy that they are. Because even though we may not have all that we want, all that we desire, we are grateful for that we have the things that we need and that are necessary. Father God, we would ask that you would continue to bless those in our lives, our families, our friends, our co-workers, our classmates, Lord God, those people that we run into daily or once in a blue moon, our associates, Father God. And this day we ask, Lord, that you would deal with the concerns of our heart, Lord God, those physical issues, those spiritual issues, those emotional issues, Lord God, that we have on our hearts today, Father God, even the mental issues, Lord God, in our minds. We ask that you would lay them to rest. We put them at your feet and ask that you would care for us, that you would give us answers to some questions that we've had lately, that you would open some doors, Lord God, that we could not open on our own, and close those doors, Lord God, that you deem necessary to close. Lord God, we ask for a blessed week coming up, Lord God, that those things that we've been praying for, asking for, seeking, Lord God, that you would bring them to fruition, Lord God, that we would be able, Father God, to get those needed answers, Lord God, and to move on in the direction you would have us to move. There are people, Lord God, that are praying for success, that are praying for breakthrough, that are praying for healing, that are praying for revelation, Lord God. Answer them, Lord God. And then there are people who are praying for life issues, Father God, decisions that they need help with, Lord God. So I ask, Father, that you would give them the answers that they need as well, Lord God. Father, you are awesome. You're wonderful. We love and adore you. We worship you, Father, and we thank you for your every blessing. We thank you for every no and every yes. We even thank you, Lord God, for your silence, because we know that at the right time, the answer will come. Thank you for the blood that covers us, the blood of Jesus that never loses its power, and we thank you for your everlasting love that never, never, never fails. It's in the name of Jesus we pray this morning. Amen. So if you have your Bibles available, we're looking at Elroy, the God who sees me. Go to Genesis, the 16th chapter, and we'll see where this name of God was used, because it was only used one time, and it was by the servant girl Hagar. In verse 13, it says, "And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" So Hagar, God foreseeing her, where the name El Roy comes from, the God that sees me, he that seeth me. And I wanted to just share with you a little bit of the story so you'll have a little background history as to where we are right now. You know the story of Abram and Sarai before they became Abraham and Sarah. God had given a vision to Abraham that he would have a child. Now, mind you, Abram and Sarai were a little older. They were, 190 when Isaac was born, or when the proclamation came. And so they're sitting there in doubt and disbelief because they're older. They've never had children. Here comes God in the relaxing state of their ages to tell them that they're going to have a child. Just picture it. Picture yourself. You're doing things. You may be in your later 40s, early 50s, mid 50s, 60s, because depending on your cycle, you would be able as a woman to birth children as long as there are some necessary things going on in your body. I don't want to get graphic, so you can use your imagination. So you're going through life with your spouse, and you guys are doing things and having fun and a good time, and work is happening, life is happening, you're jet-setting all across the world and doing things together. And then one day, you're going by, and you have a dream or a vision that comes to you, and God tells you, you're going to have a child. I don't know about you, but in my latter 40s or early mid-50s, late 50s, early 60s, if God were to come to me and tell me I was going to have a baby, probably I'd laugh too, because I'm older now. I'm in the prime of my life. I'm at the second season of life. I'm really about to start living life, and you're telling me that I'm going to be strapped down with a baby, changing diapers, having to breastfeed or feed with a bottle, and getting clothes and shoes and doctor visits. And first of all, my body is going to change. Now, maybe not for you, but for me, about 30-ish, my body started making changes. It wasn't so easy to eat a 5-course meal and do, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 crunches, a few push-ups, a few sit-ups, and lose any girth that I may have gained from that meal. It stopped happening somewhere in my 30s. When I started eating, signs that I was eating started showing. And it wasn't easy to get rid of. Like, I don't care how many crunches I did. I could have done 100. It wasn't so easy to get rid of the weight. So just imagine having a baby. God bless those who have children at a later age, because your body just, we have those super women who, they go and do cardio and have trainers, and they can get their bodies back just like that. But I'm just talking about the average regular woman. It's not so easy to lose the baby weight when you're older in life. You really got to be very, very, very committed to eating differently and working out constantly. So for selfish reasons, if God were to come to me and say, you're about to have a baby, it might not be a good look. I have to argue him down. I may not even laugh like Sarah did or Sarai did. I might not think it's funny. I might think it's a curse, like, wait a minute. I just got my body right. Just got my money right. I'm about to travel to Greece, to France, to England. I'm going to the Cayman, I'm going here, I'm going there with my hubby, we're going, what I'm saying? To get that proclamation that you're going to have a baby, I'm like, no, we're good now. We're good and grown. It's time to have fun and to be selfish. You don't have time to pamper a baby. Who has patience? Have you noticed as you've gotten a little bit older that baby cries kind of sound like nails on a chalkboard, or them wanting you, or calling you 100 times, mommy, 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 you want to put cotton in your ears and run away? So I just can imagine Abram and Sarai getting that news, and it's just like, we've been good. But see, God said to them, I have to give you an heir because you are going to be the father of nations. In order for you to be a father of nations, you kind of need a child, and it needs to be a boy child so he can carry on your legacy. And so I guess after they got done with the laughing and the disbelief and everything, it started to dawn on Sarai that, it would be a good thing for us to have a legacy. It would be a good thing for there to be a male child that carried on my husband's name, his legacy, what God proclaimed for him. So now they're waiting to get pregnant, and I'm sure doing what, you know, married people do in order to procreate. And it's not happening. It's not working. She's not pregnant. And so Sarai does something I'm not sure as a woman I would be able to do. As a matter of fact, I know me, and it might be the reason why I'm still single. I can be a little selfish. I admit this. But I have this philosophy and this principle that I don't like sharing my man. Let's just be honest. That's who I am. I have to tell you, here's a truth that you may have never known about me. I do not like sharing who I'm with. I'm selfish. Yep, I say it. And to be very honest, growing up, I was selfish. I didn't share my food. I didn't share clothes. I didn't share toys. I didn't share. I was very selfish. It took my brother being born for that selfishness to go away, and I didn't mind sharing clothes or books or toys. Food, I still had an issue with because I love food. I'm going to be truly honest with you. I'm a foodie, so I like eating. And so it took a while for me to be like, okay, would you like to taste some and give somebody a piece of something so they could taste it? And then, you know, I got a little bit more open, so I shared my food. But there's one area I never have been agreeable to sharing, and that's in a relationship. I'm not sharing my man willingly. If I find out that he has stepped out, well, then he has to go all the way out. That's just how I've been. I'm being really honest with you today. And so Sarai did something that was crazy to my logical thinking. This is my husband. We don't own anybody. They're not property. They're humans who make their own choices and decisions. But however, we made a vow. We said, I do forever till death do us part. You and I did that. So somebody else coming into that is illegal because they didn't make a vow. I didn't vow to have her and you and me together. I just vowed us two. So she opened the door to something I like to call Pandora's box. It should have stayed closed. It should have never opened. But sometimes when God promises us something and we don't see the fruit of that promise, we get anxious. So we take the promise away from God and we try to go into the driver's and do what it is we want to do with his promise. And it gets us in trouble every single time. Anytime you take God's promise away from him and tell him that you're going to manage it, it's never a good thing. God promised you something. He knew when he was going to give it to you. Maybe it didn't come right away because he was working on it. Maybe he needed to add some things, take some things away, let it mature, let it get better than what it was when he first promised it. Maybe you weren't ready for it. Maybe you needed to mature. Maybe you needed to shift and move some things around in your life. There is a reason God promised you something and he did not give it to you right then. And we have to remember that our impatience usually 99% of the time leads to a mess. Sometimes we get impatient. God said you were going to be married. Now you're telling God who your husband is. And God's like, I didn't need your help. I got this. You're like, but this guy over here is the one. He looks good. His portfolio is nice. Look at the house. Look at his work ethic. Look at his hair. I mean, you know, let's be real. Sometimes we can be very superficial, very shallow. And we're presenting this person to God, and God's like, no, that ain't him. But God, he's 6'3", chocolate, bow-legged. Look at the back span. Look at that. He just put together well. And then he owns this. He owns that. He's funny. He has this. And God is just like, no, that ain't him. But what do? We don't listen to God. We say, hey, boo, hey. Next thing we're dating. The next thing we're together. The next thing we're married. And then maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, we realize, uh-oh, I made a mistake. This is not the him that I thought he was. His real personality has come through. And now I'm not liking what I'm seeing. And fellas, don't think I forgot about you, because you guys do the same thing sometimes. God will say, get in a relationship, or he's going to bring you a relationship, or a relationship will come, just wait. But you see this girl, she got long hair, short hair, whatever your preference is. She's light skin, dark skin, brown skin, whatever your preference is. And all of a sudden, you're thinking with another head. Let's just say what it is. You're physically attracted to her. She's cute. She's got it going on. She's got a nice shape, a nice figure. Yeah, this is her. This is who I want a wife. Really, in reality, can I be real with you? What you really should be saying, instead of saying you love her, is you lust her. A lot of relationships happen because of lust, not love. But we use those words interchangeably, and they're not the same. So you get with this girl, and then because she looks so good, or one of your items on your list was checked off, this is who you marry. And you find out that the two of you are not compatible. And now you're looking like, oh, no, I'm with her for life. And then what happens a lot of times when we're with someone we do not want to be with? Instead of being honest and saying, I don't want to be with you anymore, or let's work on getting to know each other because you really don't know each other. Let's build a friendship because you really don't have a friendship. What do a lot of people do? They bring in somebody else. They go and cheat. They step out on the relationship. They're unfaithful. And that's where a lot of breakdowns happen. It's supposed to be you two, not you three, not you four, not you ten. It's supposed to be the two of you working on your marriage together and bettering it. And if you go through and try to, you know, compromise or find out what it is that can help your relationship or what has been hindering your relationship, if you can't figure it out, and this is me, and you know I love marriage. I very rarely tell people to get a divorce, very rare for me to say that, because I believe that with time and help and patience and honesty, I think there are a lot of relationships that can be worked out because it takes work. It's not easy peasy like a lot of us like to think. It's not a Mickey Mouse world. It's a real relationship with two people who change constantly. So you have to be willing to compromise and change. But that's another topic for another day. But if you've done all you can, and I mean all that you can, and the both of you decide that it's not going to work, I'd rather you divorce than bring heartache into a relationship that's already unstable, that's already unhealthy. I'd rather you say, let's call it quits and end it, than bringing in a third party. Because here's the thing, and I'm going to get off of this. You're not only hurting yourself and your chances for a happy relationship with your wife or husband, your spouse. You're also hurting your spouse, but the other person that you're bringing in, oh, they may be for it. Oh, they may be having good times. And yeah, I don't have to do this with him. I don't have to do that. That's the wife's responsibility. But that person is shortchanging themselves too, because they don't have a relationship. Can I say something real? And y'all could be mad at me, but I got to be honest about it. Your boyfriend cannot be married. A married man cannot be your boyfriend. He is a husband to somebody. He cannot be a boyfriend. Please, if I hear that on another post, I may scream. It makes me so angry and upset when I see it. Yeah, I got a boyfriend, but he's married. What? Huh? No. You have somebody that's cheating on his wife. That's what you have. Likewise, men, she can't be your girlfriend, and she's married. She's some man's wife, period. She is nothing to you but a quick fix, okay? I don't care if they're spending time with you or spending money on you. That's not your husband. That's not your boyfriend. That's not your wife. That's not your girlfriend. I'm just saying what I'm saying, and I'm going to get off of it. So here we go. Sarai opens the door of impatience. She does not wait for God to send her a son. She says to Abram, go and sleep with my handservant, Hagar. And I'm sure, positive, that Abram fought tooth and nail. Oh, baby, no, no, I don't want to. No, no, I don't want to sleep with her. No, I love you. No, I don't want to bring another woman into my bed. No, I'm pretty sure, you know, Abram wasn't agreeable to the situation, to the suggestion. He probably fought tooth and nail, and Sarai was like, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. You must do it. Okay, I'm being funny, but a conversation between the two of them happened, and Abram wound up sleeping with Hagar, and Hagar got pregnant. Isn't it always like that? When you're doing something you have no business doing, stuff happens right away. Like, if you know that you're called, you're the one that, if stuff goes down, you're the one that's going to be in trouble. Like, other people can do things and never, ever get caught. But you, because God has called you, you'll be the one that's caught. Whether it's sleeping with somebody, you got friends who sleep with 25 different people, ain't never get married. Your first time having sex, never get pregnant. The first time you have sex, you're pregnant. Have you ever seen anything that happens like that? Or if they're going out and, you know, you're in the store, and I'm just talking about when we were young and dumb, full of cum, back in those days, when you were going to the store and your friend's stealing gum or something, you take something off the counter, the store clerk is like, call the cops, you robbed the store. I'm just saying, it's like crazy. When you do things, there are certain people, I honestly believe, that there are certain people in life that cannot do any wrong because they're going to get busted. Because God doesn't want them to get that taste in their mouth of doing wrong things because he's called them to greater things. So they get caught with stuff immediately. Well, Sarai and Abram were trying to get pregnant and couldn't, but he sleeps with Hagar and bam, she's pregnant. Now, here's what I'm talking about when we open up Pandora's box, because what happens in the story? In the story, now Hagar has a son, Ishmael. So now she's feeling like she's wifey material, and the wifey should be the hand servant to her. She feels like she's elevated now because she's had this man's son. So now she looks down at Sarai. And here's what I'm saying. Pandora's box is open when you allow things in your life that are not supposed to be there. I'm sure there was some guilt. There was feelings of insecurity. I mean, think about it. This is the man you love. You got another woman laying with him. How does that make you feel? You've got to feel some type of way. I don't ever want to know, but I'm just supposing in my mind. You have to feel a little insecurity, a little insignificant. You've got to. She's done the very thing you can't do. She's given birth to a child for your husband. You haven't been able to. Surely you've got to feel inadequate. How did he get her pregnant? We're doing the same thing and I can't get pregnant. What's wrong with me? You've got to feel that way. So not only does she have her own insecurities, her own feelings of inadequacy, but now you got this woman looking down at you, looking down on you like, ha, I did it. You can't. Ha, I should be the wife. What are you here for? You can't service your husband like I can. I'm pretty sure. Now, I don't know, Sarai, but I know a lot of wives. And the wives I know, first of all, they would not have opened Pandora's box. Let's just be honest. But let's just say they were crazy and they did. I'm not going to call them crazy. Let's say they opened Pandora's box and allowed their husband to sleep with somebody else. This other woman has gotten pregnant and has a child and is looking down on her. The wives I know probably would have ended her life right then and there. Let's just be honest. She would have been gone quick, fast, and in a hurry. It would have been, leave the child, you can go. And served her walking papers immediately. It would not have been a chance for her to look down her nose or say anything smart or out of the side of her mouth to Sarai. But here we go. Now we have a triangle, because now you have Abram and you have Sarai and you have Hagar and Ishmael. Ishmael is now born. And so now Sarai is thinking about it. God promised that Abram was going to be the father of nations and his descendants would carry it on. Ishmael is his descendant. I'm inadequate. I wasn't able to give him a son, but guess what happened? Now Sarai gets pregnant. My whole thing is, if she had waited, she would have gotten pregnant. That was God's promise to her. He promised her. All she had to do was wait. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God has promised you something. You've taken it out of his hands. You've been in the driver's seat. You tried to push it to happen as fast as possible because you don't see him in it. But if God wasn't in it, he wouldn't have promised it in the first place. Are you calling God a liar? Did he lie to you? Funny how it says his word will not return to him void, meaning he can't lie. What he says has to happen. So if what he says has to happen, you need to wait. Wait until it happens. And I don't mean sit on your laurels, twiddling your thumbs, saying one day it's going to happen. No, you continue to work. You continue to walk in faith. You continue to do whatever it is you need to do until the promise breaks through. Period. Stop jumping ahead of God. Stop taking things out of his hand and allow it to happen. It's going to happen. The only way it's not going to happen is if God didn't say it in the first place. The only way it's not going to happen is if you made it up. You wanted it, you said it, and now you're putting God on it. That's the only way it's not going to happen. If God promised it to you, he's going to give it to you. I also believe this, and you can argue with me on it, but I also believe that we get in the way of our blessings, and we miss out on our blessings because we get in the way of our blessings. Like, let me just say, for example, God promised you a husband. You didn't wait. You were impatient. So you married somebody else. Well, he can't bring you the promised husband if you're married to somebody else. How does that work? He has to go against his own decree, which means he would have to sin. Uh-uh, not going to happen. So that's where I think we cancel out the promises of God, when we don't wait and we do things that block him from being able to do what he promised to do. So now Sarai is pregnant. Now she has a son, Isaac. So we have an Ishmael and we have an Isaac. And Hagar still has this tone and this look. And now she's not respectful. She wasn't respectful the whole time to Sarai, but really now. She's looking down on her and saying, well, my son is the oldest, so he has the heritage. Well, Sarai tells Abram, finally, she got to go. I'm not going to have her disrespect me. I'm not going to have her think that her son is going to carry on the lineage, the heritage that God promised you. His descendants are not going to bless the nations. He's got to go. Well, Abram, wanting to keep his wife happy, sends Hagar on her way. And this is where we see, I'm not going to say the first single parent, but the first single one in the Bible, the first single mom in the Bible, I will say that, because she goes on, she and her son alone. She has no covering. She has no husband, but she has a son that she has to take care of. And she doesn't have the necessary tool to take care of him. So she finds herself where we pick up the story in Genesis 16, in this almost forgotten place. And she's like, I'm going to die. My son is going to die. And there she is, running away from Abram's covering because of the triangle that was built, because Sarai was not able to wait on God. Abram wasn't able to wait on God, because even though Sarai offered her handservant, Abram could have said no. So they're both guilty. They're all three guilty. I don't like sometimes when I hear how Sarai was the only one that was wrong. No, nobody can force you to do anything. Okay, at gunpoint perhaps, knife point maybe, But I'm saying, if somebody presents something to you, you don't have to say yes, especially when you know it's wrong. You have the power and the authority to say no. So even if it's someone you love, even if it's someone you trust, even if it's someone you want to be with or you are with, and it's wrong, it's wrong. And say no. You have the power. Are they going to be mad? Yes. But this is what I learned about people who are mad. They're either going to get over it or they're not. That's it. That's all. Either they are or they aren't. If they don't get over it, there needs to be a whole nother conversation, a whole other conversation that you have with them and say, listen, I didn't feel in my spirit it was the right thing to do. We would have gotten locked up or we would have fallen apart or whatever. But you don't have to feel the need to say yes to every idea someone has, especially if it's the wrong idea, especially if it's a sin, especially if it goes against your character and your standards and your values. You don't have to say yes. So the angel of the Lord finds Hagar near a spring of water in the desert, right? And the angel says, well, what are you doing here? Where are you going? And she says, I'm running away. I'm running away from Sarai. And the angel said, but Sarai is your boss, basically, your supervisor. Go and go back. So Hagar goes back. And so this is when everything happens. But the name of God, Elroy, happens in this place. She said, you are the God that sees me. And that's what Elroy stands for. In her time of desolation, when she was down, depressed, she was out, and she was alone, God saw her and spoke to her and told her, go back. Just because you're not his wife and just because the promise was not made to you, it does not mean you're not going to reap the benefit also. The angel of God promised Hagar that her son was going to beget millions, a nation, people too. Many people will come through her bloodline, through her son. So even though it was wrong, even though it was not done in the right spirit, even though Sarai didn't wait on God, Hagar's son would still be blessed. And here's what I want to say to you, and I'm going to leave you with this. Even when we make mess ups, even when we drop the ball, even when we stumble, even when we take things away from God, even when we take the driver's seat, even in those times of error and mistake, God doesn't leave you. God still sees you. God knows everything you're going through, the good, the bad, the ugly. He knows it all. Those are not the times to hide and make it seem as if God doesn't know. He already knows. He sees you. So instead of hiding, put into your mind to open up and be honest with him. Hey, God, I know I may have been wrong in this situation. I might not have done the right thing in this circumstance, but I did it. And move on from there. And this is something you heard us talk about this in the family Bible study, our Bible study with ministries on a Tuesday night. Something my sister taught me that I still, to this day, still hold to me. Stop repenting for things if you're not going to change, if you're not going to do something different. Repenting literally means turning away from. So if you're not going to turn away from what you're doing, stop repenting. Stop saying, I'm not going to do it anymore, and you know 5 minutes later you're going to do it. You have to really want to stop doing something and to really do it. That's what repentance is. We usually use that so loosely. Like, I repented for this, but then I'm looking at the thing in your hand, and I'm like, you have? Well, I did tell God I'm sorry, but dang, I'm struggling with this. Well, dang, just struggle. Be honest. Lord, I'm struggling with this. I don't want to do it, or I want to do it. My flesh is telling me it wants it. I need your help to help me not want it. Be honest. We do a lot of talking and a lot of praying that's dishonest to make ourselves look good to make people, but it's not about people. It's not about others. It's about you and your relationship with God. It's you two. He knows the intimate parts of your mind and your heart. So why be fake to him? Tell him the truth, and then maybe he'll be able to release you because you couldn't do it on your own. You needed him, and he needed you to say, help me, or I'm open. I need you. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself into places he's not wanted. So if you really want to get over whatever your issue is, because we have many, we are human, but if there's something that you're struggling with and you really want to stop struggling with it, pray and ask God to help you. Ask him to send people that can help you, not judge you. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that this early Saturday morning, but it's true anyhow. Everybody in your life is not a help. No matter what their lip service says, everybody is not a help in your life. But I'm just saying, call on God, Elroy, the one who sees you. He sees you crying. He sees your tears. He sees your mourning and your grieving. He sees your misery. He sees your anger. He sees your frustration. He sees your pain. He sees you being overwhelmed. He sees you being underwhelmed. He sees it all. He is the God who sees you, Elroy. So talk to him and be honest. He's waiting for it. He's been waiting all this time for you to just be honest with him and stop doing those fluffy, wuffy, schmoothy, woody prayers. And just talk to him and be real. That's what he's waiting for. Elroy, the God who sees you. Thank you for tuning in to Walking the Talk Radio this morning. I appreciate you sharing a little bit of your time with me this Saturday morning. I pray that you have a blessed Saturday. It's a gorgeous day outside. I want you to enjoy it. The summer is not over. There's still some warm days here. And summer doesn't end until the middle of September. So I'm going to celebrate this warm weather and just enjoy life. Sometimes we take it too seriously. Learn how to laugh. Learn how to laugh at yourself. Trust me, it takes years off of you. Have a blessed Saturday. God bless you.